Okay, we had our CPR class yesterday. We had between 17 and 20 people come who were all very interested. And on behalf of Jennifer Ward Foundation and in honor of my mom, Ellen Eppenheimer, I dedicate this and I give it to you. I'm going to hang it in the back of the church, and it's going to be in this case. And when you open this up, it will go off. So we'll know if the kids are playing with it or not. But also, if you hear that noise, then you'll know that we had to get the AED. So you use that when someone goes into cardiac arrest. So be assured, if you go down, we'll be working on you, doing CPR and using the AED. Thank you for allowing me to bless your church and you.
Well, thank you, Reverend Naomi, for giving that to the church. And they had a wonderful time with the CPR. If you missed it, you missed something good.
We'll have another class at another time.
Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you.
There was a lot of information given out yesterday to CPR, and we all need to know that. With what goes on nowadays, you never know when you can use it. Well, you know, with their little earthquake, with the big earthquakes overseas, Teresa was telling me that today as they were digging out, it collapsed on the people who were digging out. It put me in mind of 911, wasn't it? 9/11, yeah. You know, our people were in there trying to get our people out and collapsed and got the people there. Getting the people out. You know, I don't know what's going on in the world. We just know it's not good. We have to be about the Father's business all the time, just not every now and then. You know, the world is, you know, Teresa's telling me about that young girl in school that they beat up deliberately, and she went home and committed suicide. And, you know, and it's just, why are people doing this? The world has gone crazy. It really has. And God is trying to get us to be strong so that we don't become crazy with them. Because there's an awful lot going on out there. And people, have you noticed people aren't polite anymore? You know, I just never thought I'd live to see people the way they are now. They're just not polite. You go into businesses and you think you're going into some sort of war zone. You know, the people in there aren't polite, and people in the places aren't polite. People on the street aren't polite. It's just, I think this started happening about 8 years ago when it really started. I thought, what's going on in the world? And it's in the churches. It's everywhere you go, you know, that this is going on. God wants the body of Christ to really get strong in Him and stay strong. We have too much backsliding. You know, we get strong one day, the next day we're not strong. You know, and we can't be wishy-washy anymore. We have to be strong 24/7. And we can do that. We really can. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you. And we give you all honor and all glory for each and every person that came out here this morning, Father God, to sit in your presence. I'm asking right now, Father, to touch those who are watching online or listening. I'm asking, Father God, that you open up every one of our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes so we can hear and see and understand what you're telling us. Father God, we know that I hear you. The hour is dark and the hour is late. And we need to lay aside all those things that so easily beset us. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God just speaks different things to me when we're doing praise and worship. And I was sitting there, you know, listening to praise and worship. And God said, when you're into perversion, your body has become your idol. I never thought of it that way. And you want to, you idolize your body, and that's why you go into perversion. So, yeah, just something throwing out there, you know, to you so that If you know anybody that's doing that, just pray for them that they quit making their body their idol and make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. This morning, God wants to talk about fighting the fight and running the race. God's told me that the church has been playing church too long. And it's time to stand up, fight, and win the race. We've just been coming to church, hearing the same messages over and over again. We leave the same way we came. You know, people aren't changed. And I even said to God yesterday, I said, what else can we teach? Same faces. I've heard the same word over and over and over again. When are we going to get the new faces that need to hear the word? You know, and this is where we're at. You know, we're just being fed and getting fat on the word, but we're not doing anything with it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Now, if you read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, you'll see that he's talking about the things of the world, okay? And then, but then he says to Timothy, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Then he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. We have to trust that there is a God, that there is a heaven, and there is a hell. And we have to trust the fact that all through the word, it tells us we are going to have to fight. But we always go into a fight with the stance of victory before we ever start, because God's word tells us we are the victorious ones. We don't do that. The body of Christ goes into the fight defeated already. And see, this is where we get in trouble. Now, not everybody does that. So if the shoe fits, puts it on. But if it doesn't fit, just say, hallelujah, and go and listen to what God's saying. We can never hear this often enough. Well, you see, the reason why I say that is because I don't see very many people that sit in the house of God go out there and bring others into the house of God. So you must not evidently believe what you hear, or else you'd be going out there telling other people. And maybe you do go do that, so you know what I just said. But there's too many that don't. They leave church and go out there and they mix with the world and act just like the world. I see that over and over again. Isn't that what happens? You know, you go out there, you know, we used to go to a Methodist church when I first moved to Delaware, and they went in there and they really preached the word. You went outside and everybody was standing right outside the door smoking cigarettes. You could hardly get through them, about knocked you out smelling the cigarette smoke. I thought these people just sat in there and just heard the word of God, and they're out here defiling their temples with smoking cigarettes. That always, I never quite understood that. Then I'm not a smoker, so. All right. We know from the word of God that God will meet our needs if we go to him and ask him how. In faith. We just can't go and say, let's just see if this works, because it doesn't work that way. But we all know in this world we face circumstances that can cause us to falter in our faith. And I don't know of anybody that hasn't come to that point at some time, more than one time in their walk with God. You know that you know what's going on, but the enemy bombards and bombards and bombards, and you find yourself sitting thinking, is this really real? And then you know it is, so then what you do, then you have to repent, and then you go on. But so don't kill yourself, beat yourself up, if you come to those points at times where you just ponder, all right? I never thought I would ever do that. But here recently, I found myself doing that one day, and I thought, what is wrong with me? But see, this is what's in the atmosphere. And so then what's in the atmosphere is filtering down into God's children too. are the economy and employment situations, wars and rumors of wars, the continuing threat of terrorism, and the daily life and family issues we face are causing some to quit the fight. And how many times does God say, don't grow weary? He said, children, don't grow weary. But this is what's happening because we see so much that is wrong around about us. And you watch these things going on, you think, how's this ever going to end? How am I ever going to be able to stand up? We're going to be able to stand because we trust the Father. And it doesn't matter what we go through. God's always with us. All right, and then I said, but it is in these precise times we must fight the good fight of faith. You know, even if you say, well, the pastor just said today, hang on to that. If you're sitting in a church where the pastor's preaching the truth, hang on to that, no matter what the enemy's trying to throw your way. And right now, I'm hearing God say, you are being bombarded from the throes of hell with everything that Satan has in his at his disposal. And what he's trying to do, children, is to take you totally and completely out right now before the final glory drop. You are strong towers, but he's weakening you brick by brick with the circumstances he places before your eyes. Do not allow these circumstances to pull you off course, but hold on to the facts that you have been given and keep moving forward. If I was asked for a show of hands in here, I believe everybody in this room would say, you've been fighting. You've been fighting that good fight of faith. You've been hanging on with every fiber of your being. And if you're not, that's wonderful. But get prepared because the fight's coming your way too. Amen. I have learned that lesson well. Now is the time for us to believe God and trust in his word more than ever before. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12 that we are to fight the good fight of faith. These are the times we must stand our ground and not quit. Even if it looks like we are going down for the count, don't quit. God's been telling us don't quit for quite some time now because he knew that these devastating times were coming upon us, and he was trying to get us prepared a couple months, maybe a year ago. Kept saying, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. But you see so many people quit. Maybe they haven't walked out the door of the church, but they've quit inside. And if you sit down, and they're just a shell walking in the church because that's what we do on Sundays. We go to church. Are you understanding this? God will cause us to be victorious if we will believe his word and not give up. It is one thing if you quit a fight in the natural. But when we embark upon the spiritual fight and we quit in the middle of it, the consequences can be extremely sobering. Whether or not we stay in the fight could mean spiritual life or death. So stay in the fight. I'm telling you guys, God's had me put this together because he said the biggest fight that you've ever fought in your life is coming upon the church. And yet with his wars and rumors of wars with China and Russia and everything, and God told me years ago it's going to come on American soil. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how devastated people are going to be. But you who are strong in the Lord, you need to stay strong. Somebody has to stay strong to teach those who are weak. I'm sorry, but everybody in the house of God is not strong. You have your weak ones. You know, God told me one time, the poor you will always have among you. And I thought he's talking about finances, but he was talking about those who are poor in spirit. You know, they don't have enough faith to believe, to keep going. And we have to be there for those people. All right, up to this point, we all know that we have lost a round or two. Maybe three or four. The devil took us by surprise. But just because we lost a few rounds doesn't mean we lost the whole fight. Some of us came away from the first round or two with a black eye and a bloody nose. But we were learning how to stand on the word for our victory. We were learning, but did we learn? I believe we did, didn't we? I really do believe you. And I've been through things I never thought I'd ever go through. And I know you all have too. But we learned more about the enemy and how evil he is and how dirty he fights. And we learned that we have to really and truly lean on the Father to continue on with this journey we have going with the Father. But just because the devil gets in a couple of good licks and you may be staggering a little or bouncing off the ropes, that doesn't mean he has won the whole fight. Come on. Just because you haven't gotten through your habit yet doesn't mean you've lost. It doesn't mean your life is over. It means you just have to fight harder. Instead of letting the devil press you backwards, you press him backwards. And you just keep doing the fight. If you have put your trust in the word of God, instead of what you can do or see in the natural, you are ready for the next round. Read that again. If you have put your trust in the word of God, instead of what you can do or see in the natural, you're ready for the next round. And then I put down, yes, next round. As long as you are breathing, there will always be a next round. Come on. Stay in God's word and keep your spiritual muscles built up. Then go back out there and meet the enemy at the center of the ring and knock him right out of that circumstance he has been holding over your head. You know, you say, well, God said this is going to happen this way, and God said it's going to happen that way. But I always look back at the king who God sent the prophet to him and said, get your house in order because you're going to die. And before the prophet even got out into the courtyard, the king had pleaded with God to give him 15 more years. And God said, go back and tell him he's going to live and not die. You know, we can change God's mind and his heart, you know. But see, we don't persevere. God has told me many things, and I didn't want it to happen that way. And, you know, I pray, and I think, and then I finally said, well, God, your will, your way. But, you know, if it could be, let it be this way. And I've changed his heart, and it's worked out just fine. So, you know, why do you just sit still? Are you listening? Come on. Look what Satan's trying to do with our kids. It's a shame, isn't it? You know, you have these beautiful children and you raise them up and the devil's come in and he has them slaughtering them right and left. If God said they're going to die, do we have to receive that? We really don't. God told me, I forget what now, about 5-6 years ago, he said, daughter, a cancer is coming back in your body and I'm going to bring you on home. And I said, no, God, no, I can't go. I can't go now. Don't take me home. I have kids to raise and I still have work to do. God said, all right, I'll let you live. I'm not going to take the cancer away, but I'll let you live. But then he also promised he was going to heal me too. See, so I shouldn't even be here today. But because I wanted to finish my race, I wanted to do the things that God told me to do. I went to God and I said, God, I don't want to die now. Are you listening? So come on. Talk to God. Press into God. And you'll watch him move the mountains for you. If you're going to whip the devil in every circumstance of life, you must have the attitude that you refuse to quit and that the devil will not defeat you or take anything that legally belongs to you again. Let's read that again. If you're going to whip the devil in every circumstance of life, you must have the attitude that you refuse to quit and that the devil will not defeat you or take anything that legally belongs to you again. Remember, in Christ, if you will stay faithful to God's word, you are assured of the victory in every circumstance. Remember, in Christ, if you will stay faithful to God's word, you are assured of the victory in every circumstance. Alan, did you hear what I said just a little bit ago? However, you have to make up your mind to win the fight of faith. You have to make up your mind, I'm going to win this fight, devil. You are not going to do what you plan on doing to me. I was telling somebody today, because my legs gave me a lot of trouble last week, and I just tell my legs, you're going to stand up and you're going to move. You're going to walk. They said, you talk to your legs? I said, I absolutely do. And they have to listen, so I get up and walked. Come on, see, you have to speak to the circumstances, and you have to let that circumstance know that they are not going to rule you. You rule the circumstances in God. All right, so I said, however, you have to make up your mind to win the fight of faith when the circumstances become rough, okay? And when everything looks dark and hopeless and there is no victory in sight, what are you going to trust, the circumstances, your fears, or are you going to trust in the word of God? God's word says, you know, whatever you ask, believing you're going to receive. See, we really don't read God's word properly. We just read it. We glance over it. And we really have, you really have to sit down when you're reading and look at what you're really reading. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you to what God's really saying in those scriptures. I didn't say twist the word. The word is still the same. We just aren't looking at what God's really saying in his word. If you're going to see victory, you are going to have to make up your mind to stick with the fight of faith, no matter what, regardless of what circumstances it look like. It doesn't matter. If you've decided, I'm going to stick with what God told me, then you're going to have to stick with it. And the enemy is going to fight you harder after you've made that decision than he did before you made the decision. Because he's going to work overtime trying to weaken you to make you believe that God is not going to do what you've asked him to do. Now, there are too many Christians who are falling for the devil's lies. When they are just about to achieve victory, the devil starts blowing and huffing and puffing, telling them they will never win. I'm talking about whatever circumstances in your life, that the enemy will make it look bigger than what it really is. They get scared off and back away from the victory. Instead of pressing on in faith, they begin to say, well, I guess I might as well give up. God isn't going to answer me this time. God isn't going to help me get out of this sin. And now, there I put that in there because people are so caught up in the perversion and are trying to get out. It was easier to get in than it is to get out. You know, from working with people. And one thing you can't do is ever give up. You know, if I was into perversion, I'd fight until my last breath to be set free. I wouldn't give up just because it didn't work today. You know, it might work tomorrow. It might work during the middle of the night. You never know when that sin's going to be eradicated right out of you. I would not give up. I wouldn't. I just keep pressing right on in there. All right, the excuses go on and on. And instead of fighting, they quit and lay their faith down, and that is as far as they ever go. You know, God said he's going to use the young people in this generation, you know, in this dispensation of time to bring in the great harvest. But he said he's going to use the older people to mentor the younger people because, you know, they don't know exactly how to do things. And so what's happening, the older people are saying, oh, well, God's going to use younger generations, so what good am I? See, why do you do that? I had people quit the church a couple of years ago because they said I was leaning towards the younger people. I wasn't leaning towards nothing. I'm just doing what the Holy Spirit was telling me to do. And then I realized, well, we are leaning towards the younger people. But I said, no, I'm not. I said, we're just doing what God's telling us to do. And God's bringing in young faces, because that's where the anointing is at right now, is in the younger people. But does that take our anointing away? No, our anointing increases so we can help the younger people. Come on, aren't we all in this together? So who cares how old you are, how young you are? Get rid of titles. We're just people. You know, if you really look at the Bible, it was just people. God didn't use the well-knowns. He used the lower class people, and that's who he used to bring in the great revivals. So don't worry about what you aren't supposed to have a title anyhow. All right, don't worry about that. Just be a vessel that God can work through that's full of faith. Now, I get a little bit disturbed when I see somebody sitting in the house of God 10 years and still have the same problems. Get offended or whatever the problem is. Come on now. Those are the kind of things you should have gotten rid of a long time ago. And then I see people that's been in the church for a long time. You know, they'll lose faith. And why? It's because the enemy wants you to lose faith. The enemy is making the circumstances around about you so bad that you can say, no way it can change. Yes, it can. You know, I go back to Kenneth Copeland. He was a smoker, and you know, he stuck his cigarettes up over the visor. When he tried to quit smoking and couldn't, stuck them over the visor one day, and I'll say 3 months later, pulled the visor down, and all the cigarette crumbs come down there. He forgot to smoke. You know, when he quit trying to do it in his own flesh, then God moved in and God took it away from him, and he hadn't smoked since. But he was preaching, and it really bothered him. He smoked and preached, and God just took it. He didn't stop preaching. Now, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the house of God. You should stop preaching if you're doing it. But that cigarette wasn't hurting anybody except Kenneth, right? But that's a good example to look back on, and there's many, many more that we can look back on. All right. So we're talking about the excuses go on and on. So they never take another step or make another advance to gain the territory God has already promised them. I didn't say they weren't saved. I just said they aren't advancing toward the blessing God has for them because they have listened to the devil's lies and have given up the fight of faith. You listening? There's a lot of you in here that are, you know, listening or whatever. You have a lot of things going on in your life. And it's only by the grace of God you're even breathing. You know, because of the circumstances. But at least you're breathing. At least you're still standing. At least you're still pressing forward. And one day that kind of junk's going to leave. And you're not going to care what the devil's doing, because the glory of God's going to fill you so full that it's going to take everything away. I didn't say make it disappear. You will no longer be tormented with it. All right? I myself don't believe in quitting. And if you know me, you know I don't. I just don't believe in quitting. My father taught me from little up, you'd never quit. And if I quit anything, he'd pop me a good one and make me finish it. And, you know, I try to tell my boys, you should finish everything you start. Never quit in the middle of anything. And they do. They finish what they start. But see, our kids have never been taught that, have they? There's a lot of families, parents don't even know about finishing things. So how can you teach your kids to finish? So now what are we going to do? We are going to now go and do what the parents didn't do. We're going to teach these young kids how to really be strong in the Lord and how to stand steadfast and not quit. Amen? That's what we're going to do. And God's going to give us the anointing to do that. So I said, I don't believe in quitting. I know God doesn't believe in quitting either. In reading the Word of God, you will see that the people God used were those who refused to quit. They weren't people who were necessarily any braver, wiser, or smarter than we are. They were just people with a tenacity and determination of faith who wouldn't take no for an answer. There is an old saying, quitters never win and winners never quit. I don't know about you, but you know, God told me quite a few years ago, he said, I was whining. I know y'all aren't whiners, but I was whining this day, and God said, daughter, you're not the only one in this boat. You know, I wasn't the only one having that problem. He says, there's a multitude just like you. He says, so quit your whining and go forth and finish the race. So I'm saying that to you today. You're not, whatever your circumstance, you're not the only one in that circumstance. There's a multitude just like you. And maybe, just maybe, God's trying to raise you up with a testimony to help that multitude that are like you. All right? All right. Don't be satisfied with second best in life. God told me one time, daughter, you always settle for second best. He said, I want the very best for you. So I'm telling each one of you in here, don't settle for second best. And I checked my life, and I have always settled for second best. So I said, okay, God, I want the very best you have for me. I'm not going to settle for second best any longer, and none of you in this room should either. You want the very best that God has you. And what is that? Read your word. It's in the word what he wants to give you. He wants to give you all of heaven. He's already given you the keys. You just haven't tried to use them yet. Amen. All right, I said, don't be satisfied with second best in life. But on the other hand, don't be upset with yourself if you lose a round or two. Because condemnation is the devil's way to try to get you down. All right. Losing a round or two in a fight does not mean you will lose the entire fight. All right, let's talk about people fasting. All right, God said, okay, I want you to fast 3 days. You fast one and then you're done. don't walk under condemnation because you did that. Do it again and keep doing it until you get it right. You know, and after you do 3 days, and he'll tell you 7, and he'll tell you 21, and he'll tell you 40. But see, he'll work you up to that stage. Don't quit just because you didn't meet the goal that God set before you right away. Proverbs 24:16a says, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. See? God's told us many times, get back up again and get in the fight. This is what he's saying to us this morning. Get back up and get in the fight. You know, whatever's bothering you, whatever's Satan's plaguing you with, one day it's not going to be there. Well, you've said that before, and I'll say it again until the day God takes me home. If you keep fighting and you keep moving forward, that thing is going to go. It has to go. It's a mountain that God said we can remove, and we remove that by staying in the fight. But exactly how can we run this race that is set before us? Thankfully, we are not running in the dark. The author of Hebrews provides 3 proven ways to keep us on the right track. The race set before us. We get our start in the race of life by remembering that we are not alone. I just got ahead of myself. We are not alone in this. Hebrews, and I'm not the only one sick. You're not the only one who has a loved one sick. I'm not the only one that's overweight. There's plenty of people around you overweight. You know what I'm saying? You're not the only one there. You're not the only one that has an alcoholic in your family. I have one too. But you know, so we don't quit the race just because there's some sort of sin in our family. We keep fighting and we keep trusting God. We keep holding that person up before God. And one day they're going to be free. Somebody has to hold them up before God. And you know, you're supposed to be the strong one, supposed to be. So why do you get upset because you have to keep holding them up? Come on. Right? That's what happens in the body of Christ. Well, I just don't want to pray for them. I've been praying for them for 10 years. Well, how many years did somebody pray for you? You know, you have to think about these things. Somebody was there for you. So now, and when you were weak, so now you're strong, supposedly, and so now you're supposed to be there for the weak ones. All right, Hebrews, where am I at? The race set before us. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, so in other words, I said, we are not alone in this race. When ancient sprinters dashed off in their quest for victory and the laurel crown that they often did, so so in a large arena filled with spectators, much like sporting events today. In other words, when they went to fight, you know, they was fighting for that little crown that they got. They were fighting in front of people, a whole arena full of people. All right, so Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that we have a cloud of witnesses up there watching us, encouraging us to go forth. You know, my mother and father and everybody like that's passed away, my sisters. But, you know, one time I was really having a hard time staying in the race. And my mother, who sat right over there, one day she was there and she smiled at me and she said, you can make it. And one other time, you know, I was really having a difficult time and God opened up heaven and let me see my father. And my father said, Jimmy, you can do this. Now get up and get back in the race. And, you know, and he's opened heavens a couple times and let me see my loved ones, you know, the witnesses, that's in Hebrews 12:1, cheering me on. You have, whoever's died before you and is going to heaven, they're up there cheering you on. You are not in this alone. I'm telling you, you are not. That's the truth. When God told me that, you know, he opened up the heavens and let me see that big arena up there with all of our loved ones. They were waving little flags, you know, like at football games. And then I can't remember the preacher. He wrote, I think about 6 months later, he wrote a book about it. God opened the heavens and let him see what was going on up there. And he wrote a whole book about the great cloud of witnesses. So whoever's gone before you and they're in heaven, they're up there saying, come on, you can do this thing. They're all right. You know, they're not in the fight no more. And now they know that they know that they know that God is in control. And they're encouraging you to keep going. And that's what we need to do to one another. I don't have to die to encourage you to go on. Right? Somebody has to stay here in this earth and to be an encourager. And when you say, God, just take me home, you're a coward. You don't want to fight. You might get a little bloody. And so you say, I'm going to coward's way out. Just take me on home. No, we're going to stay here and we're going to fight the good fight of faith. And we're going to pray. And if God said our children are going to die, no, devil, you're not taking my child. See what I'm saying there? You know, God told me one of my children were sick just recently, and I said, devil, you're not having them. And I went before the throne of grace, and they got better. But the devil was going to take them. But I wasn't having none of that junk. These are my kids, you know. And they don't belong to the devil, and he doesn't have any right to take them out before their time. Okay, where am I at here? We talked about the sprinters in ancient times, okay, fighting. And then I said, and that is what it is like for us in our race also. We are not the only ones to take this journey. People have run this way before, as Hebrews 11 shows, a chapter that is often called the Hall of Faith. So Hebrews 11 talks all about all the people that in the Bible who died with faith. But we do not have to look back to find heroes of the faith. I don't have to look in the Bible to find heroes. All right? We can find them today. Right in the pews and in chairs on any given Sunday morning. There's people in here, you have a testimony that will blow people's mind. Okay, and I put down under the bridges in Wilmington, the homeless. Some of them are really a good witness of their faith in God. You know, there are some people up there because they just lost their jobs, not because they're drug addicts, but there's whole families living out there in the woods and stuff because they can't afford any place. That doesn't make them bad. That makes them homeless, right? But they're not giving up. They're still staying families, and they're still pressing in there, still doing what they can do to stay alive. Be better if they just died, right? You know, what I mean is, if you're saying they're weak or anything, well, then it'd be better if they just died. Why stand there and fight if they're weak? They're not weak. They are strong. I've spoken to drug addicts that are strong. You know, life brings us in all kind of avenues, and some of those that are in drug addicts are in there isn't because of their making, it's because of a home life, but they're there. And when you talk to them, they've never given up hope. They always just knew somebody was going to be there somewhere to help pull them out of that. Amen. So let's not look down our nose on people who are down and out. Let's look up to heaven and call their name to God and get them free. I know I preach hard messages, but I have to. But that doesn't mean I don't have compassion for everybody. Doesn't mean I don't have grace for people. We have to speak the truth, but then we also have to show God's love. Right? Okay, so I said that bridges in Wilmington, in the woods, all over Delaware, wherever you find life. Christians are meant to make this journey together, and we are much stronger than we when we do. Seeing the powerful examples of faithfulness around you can give you the courage you need to charge ahead. In other words, when you hear somebody's testimony, you think, wow, my life's not that bad, you know. And, you know, and my grandson, he decided he had a girlfriend and she was on drugs. This is years ago. And he decided to go, she went up into Wilmington. He decided to go there too and so and live under the bridge with her. But he'd go every day and panhandle. He said he'd get $300-$400 and he'd go back and they would buy food and everybody'd eat. And finally the policeman said, you know, you can't do this no more. They really liked him, but you can't do this no more. We have to arrest you. But then one day somebody said to him, well, if you have such a wonderful home, why don't you go home? He said, I am going to go home today. So he came home. Then he had panhandle for himself. But he said he used to make more money than anybody under the bridge. But see, they were together is what I'm saying. And he wasn't out there just getting something for himself. He was getting something for everybody under the bridge. Sometimes the body of Christ doesn't do that. Sometimes the body of Christ is all for me and let everybody else fend for themselves. You know, you can, when you look at drug addicts or alcoholics or anything, people in perversion, you can see something good in everything. You know, even though you're praying and you're crying for your loved ones, there's something good always in there. And it's that good that we have to keep taking to God. You know, and keep giving it to God, giving it to God until one day they're free. Not the bad, but the good. 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, this is Paul speaking, to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. He's saying Timothy's going to remind you of Paul's ways, okay, in Christ. He's going to remind you how I taught you. So, is God going to send you to somebody to teach them of his ways? Can he trust you to take a message to a lost and dying world? Think about this. Not everybody that calls herself pastor should be a pastor because God didn't call them. And so they can't take the correct message to the people. They're not anointed to do that. So if you're wanting to be a pastor, make sure that you're living for God 100% and God has called you and you haven't called yourself. One thing we do in here is God tells us who to call up and who to ordain. And, you know, and they really should go forth and do a great and powerful work because God doesn't ordain anybody that's going to quit. Are you listening here? You have inside of you what you need before you ever walk through these doors. God just brings it forth. All right? Make up your mind. I am determined to follow God's plan for my life. I will not turn aside from following Jesus no matter what. You know, there's some that used to come here. A lot of people don't like me. The pastors necessarily don't like me, so they tell their preacher, don't go there. She's a devil. But this one person, I hadn't seen her for a couple of years. They called me the other day. They're getting ready to commit suicide because of something their pastor kept telling them and kept telling them. You don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith. And to begin with, I knew that was a lie because I knew what God told the person. And it's still going to come to pass. Now, why would you do that to somebody? Tear their faith down to the point where they were ready to commit suicide, that they called me for prayer. And by the time we was finished, that person was laughing. It wasn't going to commit suicide no more. Then they came here the next service, and when they left, they met me outside and said, "I'm so glad I came, because now I can go on." We are not to tear people down. We are here to lift people up. Now, I see, like I said, hey, when they call, hey, you know, you didn't want me as your pastor. You wanted somebody else, so why are you bothering me? I could have done that, but I don't do that. You're listening. Now, I'm hearing God say, can he send the down and outers to you? Can he send to you those who have despitefully used you, come against you, and now they're out there and they have nothing to hold on to because they believe the lie and not the truth? Are you just like Jesus, and can you extend your hand of grace? Not hold against them what happened. You know, I don't know about you, but I need God's grace every day. I need God's love every day. Every now and then I need to go to the woodshed too, every day. So who am I to turn somebody else away? Think about this. Who are you to turn somebody else away? Now, if God's given you an assignment, then he'll give you the strength to carry it through. Now, if you just picked up your own assignment, then, well, God, praise God, and I'd cry out for his grace every day, because that can be a hard road to go when you pick out your own assignments. Are y'all listening? Okay, and I said, and if you are still out there in the midst of the fight when the last bell rings and you have been faithful to what God has told you to do, you're going to be wearing a victor's crown. God told me years ago, he said, daughter, don't let any man steal your crown. He was saying, don't let people tear you down. Stay with your first love. Be full of love and grace and compassion. Preach my word. Don't lose your crown. Matthew 25:21 says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then Revelation 3:11 says, I am coming soon. This is Jesus speaking, both of them. I am coming soon. Hold on to the faith you have so that no one can take away your crown. So you start losing your faith, the world's going to take your crown away from you. And Revelation 3:12 says, those who win the victory will be pillars in the temple of my God. I will make that happen for them. They will never again have to leave God's temple. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. That city is the New Jerusalem. It is coming down out of heaven from my God. I will also write my new name on them. Everyone who hears this should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. When we first started, you know, NASA was saying that they had New Jerusalem. It was coming down, and they were tracking it, but then all of a sudden you didn't hear no more about it. Well, I said that to say this, Jesus Christ is coming soon. I don't know when. Jesus doesn't even know when. But God did tell us that in this dispensation of time, with this great harvest that's coming in, it is preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know how long this harvest, usually God works in 40-year increments. So it could be 40 years that we're bringing in this harvest before Jesus comes. Then it could be another 40 years and he still hasn't come. We don't know. Just like he told us 15 years ago, the glory's coming. And we're still saying the glory is coming. When God's ready, he'll drop it. Like Jesus told his mother when she wanted him to turn the water into wine. He said, why you bother me? It's not my time yet. I'm not supposed to be doing miracles yet. But he did. He started it anyhow. I don't know what God is doing. And if you do, I thank God for that. And maybe you need to share it with the church. But I do know one thing. We are under a terrible attack from the dark side. And if we don't hang on to our faith, we're not going to make it. We have loved ones that, even though the enemy is trying to take them out, I really believe with every fiber of my being that we can pray and God will turn that situation around. Quit agreeing with the enemy. Quit allowing him to make you believe that you're not strong enough. You're stronger than what you think you are. Come on. And you can do all things in Christ. Nancy, the word I just said isn't for you. We can do all things in Christ Jesus. But you don't believe that. See, we say things we really don't believe. Come on, we do. Oh, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Well, why aren't you out there praying for somebody then? Why are you getting all upset and wanting to get a divorce? If you can do all things in Christ Jesus, you can have enough strength and faith in God that he can help you through a bad marriage and make the marriage good. I only say that because God has said he's bringing families back together. People got divorced, he's bringing them back together. And that's the reason why I said that there's some marriages that can never be repaired. So please, let's just keep a level head here and understand what God is trying to say to us. Even though the darkness is covering the earth, God's miracles are also going to cover the earth. Now, the only way you're going to see the miracles is if you fight. Fight. Just stand up and fight. Don't give in to the wiles of the enemy. I just said to my daughter coming down the road, I said, you know, if it wouldn't be for God, I wouldn't be sitting in this seat. I said, I feel 1,000 years old. And she said, then I said, what is 1,000 years old? How do you feel? And she said, do you feel like blown up grass or some dried grass? We laughed about it. We made a big joke about it. But you know, it's the truth. You know, you all know, if it wouldn't be for the grace of God, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be as strong as you are. You wouldn't be advanced as you are in your walk with God. Because think back 10 years. Where was you? What was you doing 10 years ago? Messed up. You know? But God in his grace, he brought you to where he wanted you to be. Started feeding you the word. And then you became stronger and stronger. Next thing you know, you feel like you can go out there and fight every Goliath in the world. And you can. Because I can do all things through Christ Jesus. That's what that means. And God said we were going to be giant killers. Isn't that what he told us a couple months ago? Come on. God's saying that he doesn't care what your circumstance is in your home life, you know, in your life. He's getting ready to change that. He's getting ready to pour miracles into you. He said, just stay the course. Stay the course.